folks, we'll get started. I'd like to welcome everyone to today's meeting, and I'm assuming you can all hear me correctly. Members of the public should remain seated throughout the meeting and should not speak. Everyone should ensure their mobile phones are either turned off or switched to silent. The use of mobile phones and speaking over each other is not permitted. The proceedings of this minute meeting will be audio recorded except for the councillors considering any except matters. The recording equipment is linked to the microphone system, so please be assured that your microphone is switched on before speaking. Members are reminded that they are personally responsible for any comments they make at the meeting. I'd like to remind councillors of their obligation under the Councillors' Code of Conduct to declare any financial or significant non-financial interests which they have in any item of business before today's meeting. If you have such an interest, please indicate it or declare it now or immediately before the item itself, stating the item of business it relates to. Having declared an interest, members should leave the table for the duration of the discussion on the item that should not and should not take part in any vote. Okay. So, any apologies? We have apologies here from Councillor McAteer and Councillor Devlin. Anyone else? Patrick Brown. Oh, yes, sorry, I didn't write. Okay. Councillor Sheldon. Chairman's remarks, I'd like to welcome Michael Woodrow, the Chief Commissioner and Chair of the Equality Commission, and Evelyn Collins, the Chief Executive of the Equality Commission. Item 2, declarations of interest. None? Okay. Item 3, the Equality Commission for Northern Ireland, ECNI, representatives to outline the Equality Commission's role, consideration and decision-making processes in relation to the rescinding their original decision of March 2015 regarding the Newry and Moran Districts Council review of the decision to name Raymond McCreish Park. I'll now pass you over to Michael Woodrow. As I said, he's the Chief Commissioner and Chair of the Quality Commission, and he will take the lead.
Thank you very much indeed for the opportunity to come and explain and maybe offer some clarification about the decision that the Commission took this year, which was a rescission of the decision of the 2015. We've already been at the Good Relations Committee, and we agreed that we would come here and I would spend a few minutes simply talking you through the reasons for the change and then being open for whatever questions that there are in an attempt to clarify the situation. The situation has also been communicated in writing, so I'm sure you're all aware of the background. But if you give me literally 2 minutes to sort of give us a very brief background, 2014, if you remember, the Commission wrote to the Council saying we believe that the Council had breached its equality scheme, and we set out a range of things that we asked the Council to do. In 2015, about a year later, a report came back with the actions that the Council had agreed to do, and at that stage, the Commission went through its process. It has a statutory duty investigations committee, which comprises of a number of commissioners. They looked at the report and agreed that the duties had been met. And that recommendation went to our full commission, which then agreed that the duties had been met. A letter was then written to the council saying, as I said, the duties were met, but we did at that stage mark the fact that we were disappointed by the fact that the decision to retain the name had been kept. Subsequent to that, earlier in 2016, I think the date was actually on the 8th of April, leave was granted by the court for a judicial review. And as indeed Newry and Moran District Council, any public body is subject to the potential of a judicial review, and that requires us obviously to take legal advice, and that legal advice shines light on the process by which we take the decision. Was it reasonable? During that process of engagement with our council, there were a number of areas of that process that the council suggested to us we look at against the original recommendations, that the council take their decisions in an open and transparent way. And two of those areas in particular were raised. The council then asked us as a commission to consider that in the light of the judicial review. And rightly, the commission went back in its normal process to the Statutory Duty Investigations Committee again and back to the full commission, which takes the final decision. And as a result of that, we believed that there were two areas that we wanted the council to look at again. So the first thing is we weren't asking for the whole process to be done over again. And the two areas were, first of all, that the decision that was taken in committee, which had plenary powers to take that decision, so it isn't about whether or not the plenary powers sat there, ran against the Commission's recommendation that the process be held in an open and transparent fashion. It was taken in camera, and therefore no one was present. We didn't know who was saying what to whom. The decision, of course, was recorded, and in consultation with the Council and holding that against our original recommendation, it was clear to us that that couldn't have been set up to be reasonably transparent. The second thing was, in good faith, we had understood that the officers had engaged with the committee that day and had presented not just the consultation responses, but an analysis of those responses. In other words, not simply the hard facts or data, but an analysis of the data with whatever options were available to the Council at that point. Once again, when we looked at the audit to find out was there in fact those papers available, the papers may have existed, but we couldn't find evidence to present. And therefore, we believe that those two areas, for us to set them against the original recommendations, constituted a breach. The Commission then decided to rescind the original decision and go back to the Council and say there are two areas that we believe do not sit against our original letter of transparency and openness. And we asked the Council, and the subsequent letter that you have, was to go back and look at the two things. The decision process should not be taken in camera. Sorry, the decision making should not be taken in camera. And the second was to go back to the consultation, not to do another consultation, but to look at actually presenting the qualitative analysis with the various options to the full Council or committee, however your process is going to be taken. And that's where we are at the moment. Evelyn, factually, is there anything to add to that? No? Okay. And obviously, so that's the clarity. The reason for the change is solely on the grounds of the judicial review that was lodged earlier this year, a meeting with Council, and Council asking us to set what actually happened against what we'd asked to, and whether or not that could be held through a judicial review to be in keeping with what we asked for. And our Council's view was, our Commission's view was, that those two areas fell short of what we'd asked for. So that, at the minute, is hopefully the clarity, and I'm happy, Evelyn and I both, to take whatever questions.
Okay. Still open the floor. Chair, you heard it.
Thank you, Chair, and Michael, I met you before at the meeting of the Good Relations and Quality Committee. I did express my disappointment at your whole lead in the process, the fact that we took guidance from you at such an early stage. We followed all of the instructions from our own equality officer, and he liaised with yourself on a constant basis. And you were aware of every step in the process that we'd taken. You were aware that, along with our own legal advisor here, because of the sensitivity around the thing that we'd taken in committee, and now we're saying that was the wrong thing to do. But we took the advice from our equality officer, took the advice from the Equality Commission, and took the advice from our own legal opinion on that, you know, you're still wrong, no matter how you do. But it is very disappointing that I feel that the Quality Commission really let this Council down, that they left us in a very awkward position. We had a good working relationship here with all of the political parties. The item of the park had been dealt with on numerous occasions. The judicial review was called, so there's nothing we could do about that. But then, when we went into that review, and what we really feel is the Quality Commission turned their back on us. And we feel very let down by that. And as I say, it may put good relations back as we come back in here to take this process into a new council. This was dealt with through Newry and Mourne District Council. We now drag it in here into this council, you know, and I don't think that's helpful. It leaves, as I say, in a very awkward situation. And I expressed to you before the disappointment. You give the date on when you took this decision, but this had been in the public domain for weeks before that. We could be told for weeks previous to this that decision was coming, that decision had been made. you know, and so there must be someone accountable for that. But there, you yourself, Michael, has to be accountable. Under your guidance, we took this in committee. You know, and now the process is we shouldn't have done that. Like, everything we done was definitely through your guidance on that. And it's wrong, so I say it's very disappointing. I feel that it really puts us back a step, and the accountability and transparency, the fact that, as I say, this is in the public domain, ever before the letter comes to the council on that, it's certainly not good for any relationships, you know. So just say extremely, extremely disappointed with the whole process and how you carry it out. And you must have to take a look at yourselves and see, well, we got this decision wrong. The hassle we caused as it is, you know, and did we make previous decisions wrong? And is this decision? It's very hard for us to take guidance. And you are the legislative body, and you do take guidance from you, but it's. You're just now really wary of is advice coming from you the correct advice? You know, so I was just expressed as I did before, our disappointment with the whole process.
Chair, I'm quite content, as I did from the Good Relations Committee, to take back the level of disappointment and be assured I'll bring that back. One point that you raised that I want to address, and you raised this the last time, was the fact that the decision that was taken was actually known before the decision was taken. Well, I guess there are two things. One is, I don't know how anyone could have known about a decision that hadn't been taken by a democratic process, because the decision wasn't taken until the day. We never take decisions in advance through a recommendation coming from somewhere. Of course, the Commission works through committees, but the Commission takes, just like the Council takes a full decision, we don't have that delegated responsibility to committees. If there's evidence that someone within the Commission, whether it's in a broader commissioners or staff, actually spoke to someone and that became public domain, I really ask you to come forward and give me the evidence. I can only, and I do accept from your perspective, that that's what you genuinely believe. It's not my experience. I certainly have not heard from anyone else that, I think you said the dogs in the street last time round. I'm not by any means saying that isn't the case. I'm simply saying that if it is the case, and it's factual, I would like once again to ask if you could bring the evidence forward that from our side there was this leak. I'll deal with that.
Carla, just when the Equality Commission initially declared themselves satisfied with the old council's decision, how did they arrive at that conclusion? You know, are there any recorded minutes of any meetings that were held about it? Were they voted on by the commission? Was there a recommendation made through any report that was made on the issue? And if so, can these be made available for public consumption?
I think all our minutes are published on the website, including decisions we've taken, and those are readily available. The second thing is the normal process was followed here, that our Statutory Duty Investigations Committee received the report in the first instance, they consider it, and they make a recommendation to the full commission. That recommendation doesn't have to be accepted, but in this particular case, the recommendation was accepted. There are minutes of the SDIC, Statutory Duty Investigations Committee, and there's a full report from that committee, and indeed there are full minutes. So those things are readily and publicly available, and if you don't have copies of those, it's easy for those. There was no vote taken. It was a consensus, a full consensus of the commission, as again is recorded, because in most cases, maybe like, I don't know, occasions maybe the council goes to taking a vote, but in most cases, we ask, are there anyone who disagrees? That debate's had, and it was passed with the full commission. So there wasn't a vote.
Roisin? Thanks, Chair. I would just like to echo what Councillor Hardy has said in terms of the disappointment that those that have been involved with this process, and in particular for the staff, because I know certainly, you know, the old Legacy Council felt that they had done absolutely everything which was required of them, and yous agreed with that. So I think, you know, for people sitting watching this circus again, it doesn't create a great deal of confidence in the Commission, to be perfectly honest. And I think people are very upset and hurt and angry that this has been allowed to come again. But we are where we are. What I would like to know is, when the legal proceedings were announced, how did the Commission come to the decision to defend the case? Did this follow the same process as any other legal proceedings against the Commission? And again, I think that it is vital that this Council is furnished with all recordings of all meetings where this was discussed.
Well, there are two things. One is the confidential nature of legal advice, which isn't subject to freedom of information any more than it would be for you. And I think secondly, there's also a judicial review. I know that the Council here is also has before it. In terms of how this was dealt with, Evelyn stretches back. I'm 5 years here, so I don't want to give you only my 5 years. Who was? Yes, it was. Evelyn's been there much longer than that, so perhaps could you answer that technically?
And when a review for judicial review against the Commission is, which are not very frequent, I have to say, is raised, we look at what the issues that are being raised in the judicial review leave application. We take, obviously, counsel's advice about those issues. Council goes, and in this case, we sought to say, we went before the judge initially anticipating that we would not be subject to judicial review, but the leave was granted on the 8th of April, as Michael Wardlow has said, and a number of the judicial comments in relation to the claim that had been made by Mrs. Wharton against the Commission were what caused Council to advise that we should be considering both the issue of transparency of the decision taken within the Council and the availability of a qualitative analysis of the responses. So we, you know, take advice about any judicial review leave application against us. Council argues on the basis of the case before the judge. The judge in this instance granted leave against ourselves and of course the Council, and we take advice then subsequently from Council as to how we deal with that leave application, how we deal with the fact that the leave has been granted.
And just like any public body, if we turn down or deny Council's advice and take an alternative decision and subsequently a judicial review rules against us, well, we have duties of good governance and due diligence. So in this case, the Council's advice was very clear. With the light that was shone in the conversation with the judge and through the judicial process, it was very clear that there were two areas of the process where our request for transparency and openness in one case wasn't clear, an in-camera meeting and decision. And the second, something that we in good faith accepted, which was there was a qualitative analysis. We were told there was. Now, there may well have been. But there was no evidence that those papers for us, for those papers. So if we'd appeared in the judicial review and the light had been shone in those two areas, well, we were told we're deficient in those areas. So we went back and said to the Commission, the Council, those are the two areas that we want you to go back and look at again. Now, if we turned against the advice of the Council, just like your Council, you take those things on very seriously, given the fact that we receive public money and we are a public accountable body.
Again, it would be good to point out that the Council went into the committee on the advice of our Council.
The what, sir?
We went into the committee on the advice of our legal
team. Charlie?
Thanks, Chair. I just echo the sentiments of the previous councillors that our council feels let down, and councillors who are involved in this process from day one feel badly let down. Now, the Equality Commission, after accepting that the original decision was taken in good faith and we followed due diligence, to use your own words, and now it seems that we didn't or we haven't. I mean, I think the Equality Commission has flipped over here on this one, you know, for a purely political and expediency. And I mean, it shows your integrity in a very bad light. I mean, our integrity is challenged, but yours, I think, with the way you have behaved over the last number of months and flipping over completely for political reasons, I can see it's shameful.
Can I just ask, given this is a public recorded meeting, there were at least two allegations that were put forward there, and I'm just going to ask you the expediency and political. Can you please give me the factual grounds on which you're making those allegations?
Well, you turned completely around after the initial judicial review. Your decision turned completely around from the decision you made initially to accept the findings of the council, and that the decision was taken in good faith, to turn it around. That's the perception.
Well, that's not what I'm asking. You've made the allegation that this was taken for expediency and for political grounds, and I'm asking you, please.
That's the perception.
But you, are you saying this is purely a perception and you don't believe that's the grounds on which we took? Okay, well, I'm happy that you corrected that rather than saying we did make the decision because of political grounds. There was no political grounds in which we took this. It was purely on the background of what I've explained, the judicial review, the engagement with the judge and counsel, and we believing if it came back to a judicial review that those are two areas where there would have been a deficiency held up.
Chair, no, I suppose just echoing what everyone else has said as well, you know, the council did follow this step by step and it was approved by the Equality Commission. So, you know, are we now saying the Equality Commission got it wrong and we were given the wrong advice? You know, and if so, are those officials who were involved in that, has action been taken against them? If not, why not? Because if the Equality Commission didn't get it wrong, then how could the council have got it wrong? This was approved at every step, you know, and then it was reviewed again and we followed it to the letter. So, you know, I can't understand how now we can say that we've got it wrong, yet we've sought legal advice, we've sought the Equality Commission's advice at every single stage.
Okay, I think we talked about this at the committee earlier. It isn't about whether something is right or wrong. This is actually, and I was very clear what I said earlier, our council colleagues work with your council colleagues to make that, to fill this process full until the end, until eventually we said in 2015 that you'd fulfil what we asked for. And in due diligence and in due regard for the promotion of good relations and the equality of opportunity, I absolutely agree with that. But like any public body, when your decision-making process is subject to a legal forensic examination, and in one case where something was accepted by our staff in conversation with your staff in good faith, the judge rightly and our counsel pointed to the fact that there is no evidence that this actually happened, forensic evidence. This isn't dealing in good faith, this is dealing in actual evidence. And that's one thing. The second thing is that the judge's and our council's view is that a meeting that had full plenary powers in taking a decision of this nature would not be able to be held up against what we requested as an open and transparent process. Now, once we've had that light shone, we have to make a decision as a public body. Are we going to defend that or take the advice of our council, which those are two areas that the council is advising us that we need to go back and revisit. And we took advice of council and as a body, the due diligence again, we've gone back to the council and said those are two areas that we believe didn't meet the conditions of what we asked for. So it wasn't as though some of our staff colleagues advised you to do something wrongly. This is why I'm saying it's not the moral right or wrong. It's that legally, two areas of this process, if they were tested in a court, we were clear there would be at least questions around them. And we can't simply follow something through setting aside the advice of counsel.
Yes, speak up because your microphone's off then.
Well, it's not that people were aware of something and gave the wrong advice. It was that in the case, the simplest example of this is whenever the qualitative analysis was done. It was our understanding it was done. It turns out when we were asked, where is it, that it's not there. Now, I don't know who did what to whom, and it isn't about that. It's about saying, how do we make that right? How do we make sure that what we asked for, the open and transparent process, with not just the consultation, because we all know a consultation is not a plebiscite. We don't simply go out and ask how many people would like something to happen, and that becomes the basis on which we take a decision. The evidence of consultation is put together with a range of other things, and a qualitative analysis is carried out, normally by staff colleagues, and a range of options is put before the public body. There isn't a set of documents that shows that that happens. Now, there's an example of when the light's shone, that doesn't exist. Both sides, we accepted that in good faith. It's not there. Now, we've asked that that happens. So, I mean, you can ask me again, I'm simply going to answer the same way. I, from the Commission side, this isn't about right or wrong. We discovered there were two areas where our original request hasn't been an argument met, and we're asking that you visit them again.
Okay, folks, Colin's going to come in here, Henry, so just hold on a second. And then, folks, whenever you are speaking, keep on your light in case you want to come back in to speak. I don't often let that, but just keep it on so that we're not left, it's not without the microphone. So Colin wants to come in now.
Maybe just one point of clarity here. At no stage did the Council ever state there was any qualitative analysis being conducted. It was always accepted. Because this was a second stage investigation, and the first investigation which was undertaken in 2011-12, there was a qualitative analysis undertaken. The investigation subsequent to that wished the Council to review the process again. A second process was run by Council. It was accepted there would be no qualitative analysis undertaken, and that because the original investigation advised that it looked as if councillors had voted purely along party political lines, that we would place all of the documentation in the hands of councillors as the single decision makers in relation to this. So I just want to clarify that no stage was it ever stated there was a qualitative analysis undertaken as part of this process.
The Commission were aware of that.
Yes. And there were also a consultee in the process. I wouldn't want that hanging there, councillor.
I think actually, Evelyn, did you want to come
in?
Just to clarify, it was one of the grounds of the judicial review, which the judge, in his granting of the leave opinion, looked at, was the absence of a qualitative analysis of the consideration given by counsel in looking at the review, and that was one of the areas where we asked you to look at again. We understood, and we had information in the report from the council, that discussions had taken place and that staff had provided information in relation to the nature of the duties, what the decision makers need to do. So it was the claim by the claim under the judicial review that shone a light on that, as on the other issue in relation to the transparency and the taking of the decision in committee.
Okay, Henry.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and you're very welcome, Mr. Commissioner, and thanks for your explanation of your analysis of the situation. You know, I've been and was involved in this from day one, and I was always very concerned about the naming of the park. And in the most recent consultations, whatever, I always got the distinct impression that it was a box-ticking exercise to show some form of compliance rather than a genuine attempt to give serious consideration to the very strongly held views and views and feelings of one section of the community that really do feel isolated and alienated from this council because of the name. And that was exacerbated in recent times whenever it was revealed that the weapon that Mr. McCreesh was in possession of had been used to murder 11 innocent Protestants outside Bessbrook. And, you know, the sense of trauma and the shockwaves that sent through the community in Newry, Mourne and Down, and the fact that, you know, the council didn't seem to have any empathy, any understanding of those views, that really did cause a lot of hurt. And I think there was a clear breach in Section 75, given those very, very strong feelings. And I think it's actually tragic that a judicial review was commenced and now we're back here to look at this. I think that, you know, we should have given this really serious consideration at the start and done the job properly, and that we didn't do. But I hope that we won't just go through an exercise like we did before, where whoever had the biggest bundle of consultation papers in favour, that was sort of accepted by the council as a victory. We keep the name. You know, these issues shouldn't be about who's got the biggest clout behind them. It should be a genuine attempt to look at other people's feelings and try to understand where the other community are coming from and to try to really accommodate those views. And even if you feel strongly, you should still try and do your best to make sure that all the people in this district feel comfortable of being a citizen of Newry, Mourne and Down. And I think that that's what we need to do now. We need to go forward with a really open mind about this and do the thing properly. It can't just be about, there's more of us, you're a small team, you're small in number, we win. Those days have to be put into history, and we have to move forward in a real clear sense of doing what is right in the eyes of everybody and not just sectionalised politics. But I really do hope that, you know, this has given the council another opportunity to do the thing right, and I hope that we grasp it and really show that we are a council that can take on board the views of everyone and where everyone can feel comfortable. Thank you.
Just a comment again, just to go back in terms of clarity. There are well over 100 public bodies in this place we call home, and the role of the Commission is never to substitute our decision for the decision of a public body. That's not our role. We can express views, but our role is stops at the point in which the process comes before, in this case, the Democratic Committee or the full Council. So therefore, our role in terms of the decision-making process, we have no role in that. Our recommendations is how you get to the point when you take that decision. Our sole comment, and I'll just read the words, are we remain that we reiterate our disappointment that an opportunity had not been taken to find a name for the play park that would have more positive resonance with those in the council area and would be more conducive to good relations. The Commission is not able, nor would it be desirous of, replacing any decision of any public body. So unless there has been some mistake, sometimes within the press, sometimes willful, sometimes not, about we should tell them what to do, and not just in this case. I want to be clear, it is not the role of the Commission to do that. That is your process, that is your decision solely.
Okay, David, can I ask you to keep on your light in case you need to come back in?
Okay, sure, thank you.
Okay.
I want to welcome the opportunity that we are shortly due to review this process, because I wasn't happy with things the way they were anyway. But certainly, you know, from an Equality Commission point of view, my party, both myself and other colleagues in meetings that we had expressed concern that we didn't think the Equality Commission were dealing with this matter in a robust nature that needed to be dealt with. We felt there was almost an attempt to take a back step from it, because it was a difficult decision, and that you really didn't want to participate in that decision, and you've done the very least that you had to do in doing this. But the fact that the JLR was brought forward in respect to the decision was made, that has forced you into this decision, and it's unfortunate that it had to come to that point. But I just want to say that I certainly hope that you will deal with this and keep an eye on this in the way that you should do and you should have done, you know, from the very start. Because I continually expressed concerns, both in meetings with yourself and through the media, regarding the way that this was handled by the Equality Commission. I thought it was far from satisfactory. And the fact that the JLR was brought and had to bring you to this position, you know, it's unfortunate. But we are where we are, so I certainly hope that you will deal with it in a way that needs to be dealt with moving forward.
Just to put on record again, as it's a public meeting, I accept your opinion. I accept that it's a strong opinion. I would have an alternative view. I don't think that we were any less diligent in this than we were in anything. Just that, no matter when we take decisions, there will be people that are unhappy about the way we've taken them or the actual decision itself. That's the life of the Commission. And we're not around to be either popular or populist. We will deal with this in the same robust manner that we deal with all such processes. Now, in the second thing, in terms of we should have been keeping our eye on this, I just reiterate, we do not take decisions. We can make a comment on, as we've done in this case, but we do not take decisions. But what we do is have a statutory duty to oversee that process up to the point in which a decision is taken, and then it remains back in this council chamber.
Chair, just to come back in on that, but there obviously was flaws in the way that you handled this matter, given that you didn't see the potential position that we are in now, you know, that you didn't have that hindsight. I understand legal advice was sought. The questions have to be asked even about the legal advice that you sought regarding this initially, that led you to the position where you thought the process had been followed the way it should be, and that there was issues regarding transparency.
I'm happy to accept your viewpoint as expressed, like a lot of other people's opinions here, but you know, I'm happy to deal with questions of clarity, which is the reason we're here.
Kenton High, Harvey.
Okay. Well, first of all, welcome the opportunity to look at this again. I have a few questions. Do you accept that the responsibility for policing Section 75 equality duties lies with the Equality Commission? And why are you now trying to shift the blame back to Council for an incorrect process when originally you were happy with Council procedures? Was it the judicial review that caused the Equality Commission to examine its responsibility in looking into the naming of the play park? And how now can our parties have confidence that the Equality Commission will act in a totally unbiased manner in the future? Thank you.
The second part, I can't answer that. I mean, people place trust in people. I can't make you trust us. But so I'm disappointed that that's how a number of people have expressed it. All I can say to you backwards is we have to regain that trust by other decisions and perhaps this decision in a later way. In terms of the top, we're getting back again to the reason we're here is to provide clarity. The process, we don't police anything. This isn't a policing process. The Section 75 duties are uniquely placed here in Northern Ireland, and they are to require public bodies, when they take decisions, to pay regard and due regard to a range of issues. If you like, that's the fence of the field in which you move. Our responsibility is to ensure that you take the regard and due regard duties seriously. Now, if you want to use the verb policing, fine. It's not the verb that I would use. It's much more facilitatory and engaging, as it's been with, and hope in the future, with the Council. In terms of the judicial review coming and highlighting two areas where the judge and the council have said to us, if these two areas come before a judicial review, there are issues that I'm raising to you that you need to be sure of before that would happen. And in the light of that judicial review, in the light of the council advice that I've said before to you, we believe that those two areas needed to be revisited.
Yes.
I just add, the Northern Act sets out quite clearly that we have a number of roles in relation to the Section 75 duties. One is to provide advice to public authorities and others, and we do that in a range of ways. And the other is where we have concerns that a public authority has breached the commitment set out in its quality scheme, which is what led the Commission to look and undertake the investigation of the process which led to the naming of the play park in the first instance. So, you know, we do take seriously our responsibilities laid out in the Northern Ireland Act for undertaking a number of functions in relation to the duties. And in this instance, as the Chief Minister has explained, the reason for re-looking at a number of aspects of the process which had been undertaken was precisely and directly related to the judicial review.
Thanks, Chair. You're very welcome. One of the most important aspects, I was on the Down Legacy Council, so a lot of this is new to myself. But an important aspect of it is the integrity of the council and the integrity of the council officers. And maybe we need to put that on the public record, that the council officers, Colin Moffat and other officers, did everything they were requested to do. I think that's important to say. There's the first point. The second point is in regards to the Equality Commission and the process and how you work and the transparency of your own organisation. And the council took the decision like a committee and then it went to the commission. You know, and not having any records of their meetings and any, you know, the input from different members in regards to it. Could you maybe say something about that? Your committee, the commission, how they operate?
Okay, I'll restate it. We do have minutes, just like the council has minutes. I'm sorry if that was unclear from earlier.
Yeah.
The Statutory Duty Investigation Committee and the details of its responsibilities are on our website in the public view. Comprises of commissioners. They have meetings in which they discuss a whole range of things where people come forward and say, we believe a public body has failed in its duties, and would you look at that? So it meets maybe 8, 9, 10 times a year. There are fully minuted meetings with attendance and people who have
prior conflicts.
In terms of audio recording.
Yes.
No, we don't audio record any meetings.
No.
No. But the minutes are there as the public record, and I think most public bodies like ourselves would operate in the same principle. So the full minutes of both the Statutory Duty Committee and the full commission meetings are available and in the public domain.
Yeah, just like other councillors, we started a new council, and when members are saying that we're not protecting minorities, I have to put it on the record, public record, that we are protecting minorities. All minorities have been protected by the council, and I think we have a good relationship in the council. I think all members, all parties work very well. So we don't want to get, you know, totally negative in regards to this. There's a process to follow, and we accept that. But it's just a bit frustrating for the council that they went through all that process under the guidance or the Quality Commission as a consultee. The whole process, I know there's not much we can do about that. You know, the judgment has been made, or recommendations have been made by yourself. I just find it, you know, slightly frustrating as a new council. We have to now, you know, go over this whole issue again. I think it's very, very unfortunate that we have to do that.
Well, can I say, I mean, I hope that nothing that either Evelyn or I say diminishes in any shape or form, you know, the disappointment, the anxiety, and sometimes the anger that's been expressed. And I'm genuinely listening to that. Like you, we're disappointed we are where we are. You asked at a previous committee about the learning for us. Every time something like this happens, we are not a learning organisation if we don't learn from this. And the engagement from this, in terms of what transparency looks like, what an engagement with a council looks like, what in-camera meetings look like, what an evaluative process looks like, we have that learning. And again, finally, I don't want anything that I've said in any shape or form to impugn any officers or the integrity of either staff at my own commission or your staff. This is not about, and this is the point I made earlier, this isn't about right and wrong. That gets into a very much zero-sum analysis. This is about, we are in the process, through a judicial review, highlighting two issues that we've gone back to you and said, we would like you to look at those two again, not redo the process again, not run back from the beginning again, but to do two areas of this which would fulfil our original request. And if those things are done and the council comes back to us, with our engagement, by the way, this is not something you're doing in a vacuum. Our staff are still available and still are working with your council colleagues in this one. So it's not as if you're doing this on your own. The decision, however, will be the council's alone.
David?
Yeah, thanks, Manager. Can I say, commissioners, that I've been a Newry councillor for over two decades. And since this issue has arisen, not one person has ever telephoned me, has ever contacted me, has ever met me in the street, has ever complained about this issue. Not one person. And I'm being honest about that. Now, you say that where we were wrong is that, first of all, the decision was taken in committee and it wasn't done in an open and transparent way because it was operated in camera. And you also say that the consultation process, you're very unhappy with that as well. If these things were so big and mistakes were so self-evident, why did you not discover them first time round? And secondly, how often has the Equality Commission rescinded earlier decisions in other cases?
I think the second one, again, I'll go back to Evelyn. My tenure is 5 years, and therefore it's better for Evelyn to go back to the foundation of the Commission in 1998-99.
And we haven't rescinded a decision in a previous case. I have to say, to be clear, we also haven't had a judicial review taken against us in respect of how we dealt with an investigation and the outworkings of an investigation under paragraph 11 of the Schedule 9 of the Northern Ireland Act. So that was also a first, and I want to make that clear. So we haven't had to rescind an earlier decision on that. And the two things that we've asked you to look at again, as the Chief Commissioner has said, in relation, first of all, to the decision being taken in committee with full plenary powers, and it was confirmed earlier that the council had taken its own legal advice about that for particular reasons. We didn't question that at the time. We accepted that was the way the council did its business. Our focus on transparency in relation to our recommendation was on the basis. Well, that's what the judicial review leave application has highlighted. That it's hard. We accepted that the council had taken legal advice and that that was the way it was to be done. So we didn't question that at the time. But clearly that is one of the issues that has been highlighted in the application for judicial review.
And I think we'll also to be careful, because you're still within the remit of a judicial review and your legal advice will be part of that. But it's just going back to the area that I talked about, the in good faith thing. When we work with public bodies, we work in good faith that when you get legal advice, the legal advice is followed, the income is part of that. Our focus was very much on helping you through the process, through the consultation, until the decision was taken. And now, when the light has been shone, we have learned, just like you've learned, that a judge's view would be, well, if this comes before the judiciary, to have a decision in camera would be very difficult to hold up against a process that we requested be open and transparent. And that's part of what I said earlier to you, David, about the learning for us as well. But we as a public body, as you as a public body, have to pay due diligence to any advice you get that's legal advice. And if you work against that legal advice and you end up on the wrong side of a judicial decision, then there are all sorts of consequences. And just like you and your legal advice in the current process, we took our legal advice and took a decision based on that.
Okay.
Thank you.
Lynn?
Thanks, Chair. Listening to this whole debate tonight, to be quite honest with you, I think your integrity has been questioned, so it is. My question to you is, who reviews your performance? How do you review yourselves? Is there an outside body who reviews you? On this particular whole issue, there's been a lot of hurt, so it is, on all sides of the community, so it is. And I hope you realise, to be quite honest with you, you bear a lot of the responsibility on this, you do.
Well, I'm not walking away from anything, which is part of the reason we're here tonight. And I've already said several times tonight that I'm no more than you do we want to be here. The judicial review has opened up these two areas, which we're saying now, following our legal advice, that we believe we need to address, and we've asked you to address that. We understand, and I understand the deep-seated feelings, I understand the disappointment, but we're now saying that rather than do the whole process over again, we are asking that these two areas be addressed again. I know it sounds like a broken record, but I mean, there's nothing more I can really add to that. Now, in terms of our integrity, I said earlier, I can't make you change your view. But what I can say is, in terms of how other people approach this, we still get requests coming in. We still have 3,500 people every year contact us, standard, from all sides of the community asking for our support in anti-discrimination cases. We work with all major political parties in terms of training. Now, I'm hopeful that what you've said here, if it's a local feeling, that we can work to redress that. And that's ours to do. Well, there are a number of ways in which public bodies are reviewed, and one of them, as chair, my performance is reviewed by the Office of the First and Deputy First Minister, one of the grade threes, once a year. I review each of our commissioners once a year in a written review against the outcomes. As a board, we meet. The audit committee does a self-review. There's also the internal audit that deals with elements, as you know, on a sort of three-yearly basis. The internal audit will look at mechanisms of which we sort of carry out our business, and we'll review those processes. Evan, do you want to say anything technically?
Our sponsor department, to whom we are answerable ultimately, is the Executive Office, the Office of the First and Deputy First Minister. So it keeps although we're an independent public body, our sponsorship arrangements are with the Executive Office, and therefore we report into them.
And those are both written and recorded and available in terms of against the business plan, but also regular meetings that I have, as well as Evan, with the officials at the Executive Office. Okay, well, let me take that back to our commission.
Well,
okay.
Yeah. Although we also do a number of public awareness surveys, public attitude surveys, and other evaluations of different aspects. So there are a number of different ways in which the work of the Equality Commission is evaluated. You asked who is the overall responsibility, and that's the Executive Office.
I'm sorry, I maybe misunderstood your question, so apologies. I have an issue with hearing, so apologies for that. We regularly carry out customer satisfaction surveys. We carry out public attitude surveys, but we also carry out satisfaction surveys. And those happen every 3 or 4 years. And those things are taken seriously. They're external. We consult people widely, and we take seriously the consequences of what people say about how we perform.
Yes, Terry.
Thank you, Chair. I don't know whether I'm correct in answering in asking this, and if you can't answer, you can't answer. But I'm going to ask just about the expense of the court case. Obviously, you will have to pick up your expenses to the as far as you took the case, and also pick up the expenses of the person that took the judicial review and part one that. So it would be maybe accurate to say that as we went to court with together the council and the Equality Commission, and when you've done your U-turn now, you're actually paying for the court case against the council now. A party paying. Would that be correct? If you have to pick up the expenses of the person that took the judicial review, you're actually now funding the case against the council. It's went to court with the council now funding the case against the council. Would that be correct to an extent? Have you used any money to pay out to for your own part in the case, and will you have to pay the expenses of the or put some funding towards the person talks to the judicial review?
I understand
the question. Is that clear? And would it be correct in saying that's right that you do that? So in actual fact, advise the councillor, talk them down the road, done the U-turn, and now you're part funding the case against them.
The case against the commission was dismissed in court last week. You'll have seen that in the press. And there's an agreement that we will pay 50% of the costs to date in relation. I think we'll have to be clear also that the grounds of judicial review against the council are different from the grounds of judicial review against the commission. So they were, you know, while they were joined for the purposes of the leave application, the grounds on which the judicial reviews, as I understand, against the council and against the commission were separate grounds.
They're not a joint case where the same claims being made. There's unreasonableness, I think is the claim, unreasonableness. So ours was a different one. Pardon?
Worry about moving into the unity of the court case is ongoing presently. I think in the circumstances we really shouldn't speak about the case.
Councillor Walker.
Chair, thank you very much. And as a councillor who sat in the Legacy Down Council, I've been listening intently tonight too in relation to what has been said. And I don't know where I picked up earlier on, but in relation to the judicial review, and I would like the truth from you here, so would that. Did you do a U-turn because of the judicial review by one courageous lady? And I would like to know that there, because if that is the case, you know, it is very worrying. So it is that, you know, he's a flip-flop because of it. And this should never have come to this council. This should have been dealt with 3-4 years ago in the Legacy Council, and unfortunately we're left for this.
Well, the second part I can't answer because that's down to you to answer. The first part, all public bodies are subject to the potential of a judicial review, and I would not have it otherwise. It challenges how public bodies do their business. And we, like you, are subject to these. We've had very few of them. But in each one of them, there's been a learning experience about us examining under a forensic legal microscope areas that we, if you like, have done as custom and practice. And just like yourselves in previous cases, I'm sure there's been times where you've examined something under that. In this particular case, regardless of who took this, the advice that we got was there were two areas of the process that could not stand against our original request. And the council, under the legal advice, went back to the, sorry, the Commission under the legal advice went back to the Council and asked you to look again at those two areas. And I'm sorry again if that's the factual, and I'm not sure why telling the truth should be an issue or not, because I'm not here to tell anything other than the truth. Now, again, it's up to you, and I've said this earlier, I can say that, but whether you believe that is entirely down to you.
Thank you very much, and just one other point in relation to Councillor Hyland. I know I'm a councillor from the far end of the district, and I have received phone calls and emails in relation to it.
Yeah, Michael, you spoke earlier on, and mm-hmm. come back to the comments you made at the very start, and you spoke about when we took the decision on that night to go into the committee,
mm-hmm.
Based on our legal advice that we got, you talked about the weren't discoverable, the discussions that's up to us, you just looked for them. Is that correct? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I'm sorry. No, I think we're moving into an area that we can stay away from. This case is still ongoing. The issues have yet to be finally determined as between this council and the applicant.
But my problem there is he made comments I think are factually wrong.
Well, be that as it
may. Because I'm of the belief that we made available documentation
to the legal team. No,
I think that's part of our defence in terms of this review.
Okay, then I'll go. Another point then is that you said that within your commission on the day that you made the decision that you would go back to council and ask us to review our decision, that you just simply took a consensus of the group.
No, sorry, let me be clear. We didn't vote on it because the nature of how the commission does its business is that I think in my 5 years, we would have people, if they wanted, would take a minority statement. In this particular case, there wasn't anyone who did that.
So you just took a consensus that everybody...
The decision of the full commission approved...
It could be argued that that's not transparent.
Well, you might want to argue that. It would be my view clearly that's how most public bodies that I'm aware of and have served on, actually, is the way. I don't know I've been on a public body. This is me personally. That has actually had a vote. It's normal, the consensus, you have a discussion, people can agree, I have a minority in this, as I know possibly within the council would happen, but we don't work on the principle of let's put this to the vote. I would already ask, does anyone have any objections to this? Are you content to approve this? It depends on how I ask it, but it's always around the option of someone saying they're not. And exactly the same process would have been through.
I think a number of councillors tonight have asked for... Is there documentation?
I think we said
the meetings.
Yes.
But I formally now request that you would make that available for council, so that all.
Well, they actually are available on the website. So, but we can do the hard copies as well.
Only receive it from.
Yeah. Sure. Absolutely.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'd like to thank Evelyn and Michael for coming tonight. Charlotte.
Thank you, Chair. Michael, a few of the councillors touched on it earlier on. There, they were highlighting the good working relationship that clearly exists within this council, and for the new council, that has certainly been my experience to date. And it was also remarked upon that the majority of the councillors in this chamber had no part in this original decision. So, could you tell me, does the Equality Commission bear any responsibility for, you know, the potential that this issue being revisited will introduce toxicity into this chamber? Does the Commission bear any responsibility for that potential? And now that you're here, would you like to apologise in advance for that likelihood?
I'm not here other than to clarify the situation as why we're asking you to review it. I've been on record here as saying that I and you wish that we weren't here, but we're a public body, we're subject to the rigours of judicial review and due process, and in this particular case, the advice to us is that two areas of this work between the two organisations did not stack up against the request that we made. I did say I'm aware that this has raised huge disappointments for people, and I'm sorry that that disappointment's here. I'm sorry that the council is having to revisit this, but we also have the responsibility as a public body to take our public duties seriously, and therefore when we get the advice, we act on that advice, and our responsibility is to, as Evelyn said, as steward of the Section 75 legislation, is to go back and say there are two areas where we believe there's still a deficiency.
But would you accept, Michael, that the mess that has been created is not of councillors making, but it's the councillors that have been left to clean it up?
No, I don't accept that. And we could exchange opinions for the rest of the evening, and I've said at the start, I can't change your opinion on things, but I'm not here to try to convince you. I'm simply here to clarify. The reason we came was to clarify the reason that we have rescinded our original decision and why there are two areas that we've asked you to revisit.
Okay, so any other questions? No. Thank you very much for coming. We're going to move on to item four then, so we'll give you a few minutes. Yes, we will. Okay, folks, we'll just move on then to item four, report on the consideration of correspondence from the Equality Commission for Northern Ireland dated 30th of June 2016. Review of the decision to name the Raymond McLeish Park, and Liam's going to lead on this.
Chairman, I'm not going to go into the detail on it. The first pages 1, 2, 3, and 4 basically set out the background of how we got here, and I think having the discussion now and discussion earlier on, and indeed the paper sort of sets that out. We are at a point where we've got at page 6, appendix 1, the letter from the Equality Commission, which sets out what we need to do. So our recommendations as officers are, first of all, is that the Council commission an independent consultant to undertake the qualitative analysis of the consultation response and develop an options paper. And that qualitative analysis be tabled to the Quality and Good Relations Committee reference group for discussion and development, so to sort of make sure that it covers all the issues and it's fully and complete before it's tabled at Council. And the last thing is the qualitative analysis and the options paper then provided all councillors. And this is the amendment, I think there's just a typographical error in this here to reflect the timetable above. It will be tabled at a full council meeting specifically to deal with this issue. And the timetable above indicates that's probably going to be January, February 2017. So that's the recommendation, Chairman, to going forward. And that adheres to what is required by the Quality Commission in their letter on page 6.
Thanks, Stokes.
Yeah, Chair. My understanding, looking at this, and I've read it, in all the detail, that it's one of those decisions where we don't really, councillors don't necessarily have a decision in that. As I understand it, we're getting advice not only from our officers, the Equality Commission, but this is also the legal advice that we as a council are receiving, so that should any councillor decide to go against the officer's recommendation, that in fact we'll get back into the situation we've had, like the fair case on the old Newry-Mourne, or the old Newry-Mourne councils, where there's a potential for a councillor to be actually surcharged. So should the council be taken to court and lose? So in fact, am I right in saying, Chair, that really this is the only way forward? And the second question I have, Chair, is that as I read this, that this is until we get this report back and this option paper, which we're going forward to the next stage, and it's a little bit like a meeting of the planning committee where a member cannot make predetermine something. They cannot make a statement in advance saying whether they're for or against, because if they do so, they'll be seen as they didn't weigh up the report that they made the decision in advance. So that in such a case that a councillor who does make a public statement in advance of that meeting and without reading the report would actually preclude themselves from taking part in that meeting and voting, Chair. Thanks.
Chairman, on the first point, the Quality Commission, which is the commission was responsible for overseeing equality, but also in terms of we have submitted our equality scheme to the Equality Commission, and therefore they have suggested us the way forward. So, and we're in a judicial review process, then really, basically, this is the only way you can do. If you don't follow that there, you're perfectly entitled, but then the consequences would be on the individual councillors who take that decision. Second, on your second question, yes, this is a qualitative analysis. We are in the middle of a process. You, at the end of the process, will have to make a decision. You can't make a decision until you've all the facts and information and analysis in front of you. So to make any judgment prior to that there would be done without having taken on board the full knowledge of the facts. So hopefully that answers your questions, Councillor Stokes. Conscious that you weren't in microphone, so just to reiterate, yeah, that's so for press and for public pronouncements, you can take on board views, you can listen to views, but my suggestion would be is if you want to be involved and take a purely objective approach at the February meeting, you need to have all the facts in front of you before you can do that there. So any prior comment not there, you wouldn't have the full facts.
Yeah, just a couple of general questions, Madam Chair. Because this is a fairly unique and special case, would the consultants that we're going to get for it, would they need to be, you know, from a different sort of background, or where do we envisage getting these consultants from, and how will they be selected? Will council play a role in their selections? And do we have an idea of what sort of budget we will need to pay these consultants?
In terms of the staff commission, which is a responsibility for equality within the councils, holds a pool of consultants for this particular, which they have tendered for, and draw together a list from that there. We would intend taking one of the consultants off that list to do that. Details in terms of the budget at this point in time, you know, we don't know what the budget is, but certainly we can go back and give you information on that there. However, the work needs to be done, I believe. And again, our recommendation is based that for, you know, in conscious that, you know, for an independent analysis, it's better from somebody who's outside the council, who has experience in doing equality work and doing training and equality work and have been involved in a number of these projects here before, would be the best people to deal with it. So we're looking at the independence. We're going to use the staff commission who have got a list of qualified consultants to do that. And the issue in terms of cost, we'll have to pick up, because again, they would need to know how much, you know, how many days would be involved in doing the qualitative analysis. And again, we would need to come back to that. But they have a rate agreed with the staff commission, which we would pay out against. But we can bring that back, Chairman.
Any other questions? We need a proposer and seconder.
Just, sorry, Chair.
Sorry, Mike.
Would that appointment have to be agreed with the Quality Commission, given what we've heard tonight? Or could we go down this road and get the qualitative analysis carried out and someone saying, well, sorry, you know, I'm just asking the question, does that have to be agreed? Do we need to make sure that we're not going round and round in this, that we're back here sometime in the future because someone takes them to court?
Chairman, I can certainly ask the Quality Commission. I would imagine from what the Quality Commission has said here tonight, it is not up for them to make a decision. They would say any decision we'd want to make, but certainly we could ask them if there any objections to the person we're appointing, but whether that's going to make any difference. But, you know, it is a list done on the basis of the staff commission. They are used in a number of quality and quality of investigations. So, you know, but Chairman, you know, we didn't think we'd be in this position. So, I think that has been part of the conversation. I think we just got to take it in good faith and move step by step forward and make sure that we take our own legal advice along with that. And that's the purpose of having Paul here.
Okay. We need a proposal and seconder.
Okay, proposed, Chair.
Seconder, then, Chairman.
Seconder?
David
Taylor.
All agreement, Chairman.
All agreed?
Yeah.
The meeting is now closed. Thank you very much and stay home.